Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Verzola on this November 5th, 2009. This date in history is particularly significant today with the apparent assassination of these soldiers or these people at Fort Hood. We don't know all the facts. We hear that Muslims from Al-Qaeda may be involved, and when we get more information, I'll get into it. But today on November 5th in history seems to be a date that attracts assassinations, political assassinations. In 1605, there was the Gunpowder Plot in England by Guy Fawkes. A Catholic was involved, and he tried to blow up. They set gunpowder under in the basement of the Parliament building in London, and it was discovered, and Guy Fawkes was punished by put on the rack, and he was executed, and this was a plot to apparently return England to Roman Catholicism. This was because of Henry VIII leaving the Catholic Church and setting up the Anglican Church, and the British and the English and English-speaking people in the Commonwealth celebrate Guy Fawkes Day by burning effigies of Guy Fawkes, and this is the day today. In 1990, in New York City, Rabbi Meir Kahane was giving a talk in, I think, Manhattan, and he was assassinated by an extremist. He was a very intense political figure, and it's sad that he had to be blown away. In 1995, in Canada, there was an attempted assassination on the Prime Minister Jean Chrétien, by a guy who turned out to be, Andre Delarue, a young man who was diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. Interestingly, he was found guilty of attempted murder, but not criminally responsible. Very interesting. In the Soviet Union and in the Arab countries and places like Al-Qaeda, he would have been promptly tortured and executed in the worst possible way. In October, and also in Canada, they had, in 1970, there was the assassination of Pierre Laporte, who in Quebec, who was a what they call a provincial minister, which would be a state executive title down here in the United States. And this was the only time in North America, interestingly, in Canada, under the administration of Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau, who was half Scotch and French Canadian, he ordered the Canadian Army into the province of Quebec and put the province under martial law. Even the American Civil Liberties Union got involved in that one, and we hope this never happens down here in the States. The birthdays today, interesting birthdays. In 1855, Eugene Debs, the socialist politician and philosopher, was born. In 1911, we had the great cowboy Roy Rogers. In 1913, Vivian Leigh, who was best known for her role as Scarlett in Gone with the Wind. Interestingly, she took $20,000 payment for that film. Clark Gable was smarter. He took a portion of the take of that movie, all the proceeds for years, so it made him a millionaire. In 1941, those of you who like Simon and Art Garfunkel was born. In 1945, General Peter Pace of the U.S. Marine Corps and former Chief of Staff, he was born, and his name will come up again because the radical leftists want to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And we'll get into that because it has relevance to some of the events today, which we'll tie together and bring all the dots together. What's important, I don't want to spend too much time on this, what's important about this Fort Hood thing, I was listening to the various cable broadcasters or newsreaders, whatever. They're all apparently ignorant of the protocol to enter a federal military base. And, of course, some of them ask very good questions. And this issue comes up in the Stephen Nery case, the Alameda Naval Base in 1996, March 29th, where the 18-year-old sailor had it was an attempted rape, and the rapist, who was an illegal alien, Juan P. Frey, a predator, who was politically connected to the prosecutor in the case, Terrence Hallinan, the district attorney of San Francisco. Excuse me, I have getting over a bad cold. But anyway, he was illegal. No lawyer was present when he was interrogated the night of March 28th on the USS Carl Vinson, and he was in the brig. And San Francisco police officers and the deputy district attorney, an at-will guy named Peter Kling, Castro Kling as he's known because he lives in the Castro, and embraced this agenda and committed a lot of violations of this 18-year-old kid's civil and human and military rights. What had happened was on March 28th, still suffering in shock from the attempted rape and breaking his hand, he was interrogated by his superior officer without the mandatory lawyer or JAG being present. The next day, by the time the Washington, D.C. had shut down, there was a supposed $2 million warrant served on somebody on the USS Carl Vinson. Was never served on Stephen Nery, the sailor who was taken out of the brig, and through a fraudulent document, the Title 32 720.6 document, which is up on the web at amicusveritas.org. Excuse me, I still have this cold. Nery was illegally removed from the brig, from the USS Carl Vinson, and brought over from Alameda County across the bay to San Francisco City Prison, where he languished for 3.5 years without medical care for the broken hand sustained while fighting off the rape and the AIDS. And the guy believed to have AIDS or was HIV positive and was also a cocaine freak who may have had hepatitis. His medical records, P. Frey's medical records, were concealed and later destroyed. The body was burned on April 1st, and the ashes dumped in the bay. He couldn't be returned to his homeland of Argentina. I guess there's a rule about AIDS, dead AIDS victims being transported on airplanes without special notifications and health releases. Anyway, what's important is how this whole business of entry onto a federal military base, how these Muslims got on there. I understand that the security was lax at Fort Hood. We'll find out more. But in my own experience back in the late 60s when I was a draft consular, I had to enter the military base at Fort Sheridan, Highland Park, Illinois, to see a client and also happened to be a relative. And was in the Fifth Army at the time, and I did other cases. But there was a protocol to enter a federal military base, and apparently there was some laxity here. And we'll find out more. But now that this is very apparent in the public mind, people who have children who are in the military or are thinking of going into the military or are in the military better look at this case very carefully about people coming onto the base without without the security being in force and checking these people. It's going to get they're going to start cracking down. But in the Steve Nery case, is a classic. I finally was able to get my audio editor working, and we do have Brigadier Ingle, the last commanding general of the Bengal Lancers. The Bengal Lancers were set up, it was also known as the Duke of Connaught's own regiment. It was one of the British royal family, and they were worked in India to, they were the representatives of Raj, as it was called, and General Ingle went to Sandhurst during the early 20s. His classmate was David Niven. And David Niven was in this movie, The Charge of the Light Brigade, which dealt with the Crimean War and the Russians meddling in Afghanistan on what was called the Northwest Frontier. And that, I recommend that movie with Errol Flynn. It's just been reissued on DVD. It's fairly accurate. History according to Hollywood, but a lot of the facts are there. It's better than the second Charge of the Light Brigade, which Tony Richardson did back in the late 60s. Richardson later was the father of Natasha Richardson, who Tony died of AIDS. I don't know the rest of the story about Mr. Richardson. But anyway, General Ingalls had spent nearly 40 years in the subcontinent and in Pakistan, what is now Pakistan, and on the border with Afghanistan. And there is nobody that I know of in either the British Army or the American Army who has his background or has his background, he's dead now, or his knowledge. And he also set up, I think, the first commandant of the Pakistan Military Academy, where such military figures as Musharraf went to military school there. And a lot of the Pakistani Army, who are serving today, also are graduates of the military academy, which Brigadier Ingle was a commandant. And he later retired, worked in India for a while, and then came to San Francisco and was named the honorary consul for Pakistan. Now, on this interview, it's only an excerpt from an interview. It was about an hour long, which I did several years ago for Western Public Radio. You'll hear some babbling in the background. We're not in a Pakistani railroad station, but people were talking in the consulate, and there was no way to deal with that. And this is what happens when you're doing live broadcasts on site. And even when you're doing taping, you can't get these sounds out. But his wisdom, his wit, and it's well worth listening to. I'm going to play it in a minute.
I'm interviewing one of my old friends, one of the last great generals of the past, Brigadier Ingalls, the last commanding general of the Bengal Lancers. Welcome, General. How are you?
Oh, no, don't go. I'm fine, thank you very much. Nice to see you again. What are all the leading questions you're going to ask me?
Well, it would be, what effect do you think does the Russian defeat and withdrawal from the subcontinent, what would that have on the current situation? How would that change?
On whose situation?
For Pakistan and India.
Well, I think it's to the advantage of both of these countries that they should remove their physical presence from Afghanistan. As you know, for many hundreds of years, the Russians have wanted to obtain a warm water port down on the Arabian Sea, or the Indian Ocean, as the Indians call it. But the British, of course, resisted that for many generations. And I would say that the situation could only improve as far as Pakistan and India were concerned. It's one less threat to their territorial integrity. And, of course, we're all hopeful that Afghanistan will find a government of her own choosing that is satisfactory to the people of Afghanistan, and they begin to put their lives together and repair all the damages that have been done in these 7 or 8 years of war, and that they become successful. And we have a neighbor who is economically sound and basically friendly.
General, the reference you made was the Russians seeking a warm water port. Were you referring to the Crimean War?
Well, that was partly something to do with it, but really what I was thinking of, the British had, I think it was three or four wars with the Afghans. And the Russians were behind each of them, so they say, or so history says. And it was really to keep Afghanistan under the thumb of British policy that those wars were fought. One or two of them were disasters, in fact.
General, one of the claims that the Russians had made was that by invading Afghanistan or coming to the aid of the government that was friendly to them, that they were liberating women and other social reformation. Do you have any comment on that?
I don't think that was quite their intention. I think their intention was to have another of their neighbors, a communist country, following their own line of procedures and thought and social and political beliefs. And it failed, I'm glad to say, but of course there are many countries in and or around Russia that are still under their thumb, particularly up in the north, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland to a degree, Czechoslovakia also.
Brigadier, do you think that Benazir Bhutto would it be analogous to say that she's the Corazon Aquino of the region?
I really don't know sufficient about the Philippine lady to comment, but the fact is that the Prime Minister of Pakistan is the first lady to lead a Muslim country, and she's one of the first ladies in the world to lead a country, Mrs. Thatcher and one or two others, but the number is very small. And I personally am delighted to see it. Listening to this lady, I've not had the privilege of meeting her, but she seems to have some very sound ideas. She seems to be moving in a rather slow and methodical manner. Her father had some rather wild and, in my opinion, policies of nationalization and his Praetorian Guard and one thing and another. At present, at any rate, she hasn't shown any inclination to go that route. And of course, she's been wise in that she has taken over a number of the advisors and politicians and statesmen of the previous regime, notably, of course, Yaqub Khan, the foreign minister. And it seems to me that she's a young lady with a good deal of sound common sense, and she's moving in a very methodical and statesmanlike manner.
Has there been any further information on the mysterious death of Prime Minister General Zia?
No, there are all sorts of speculations going on, but officially, I don't think any of them really hold water that I've heard. They're all so far out, they sound like something out of a movie. But who knows, nowadays there are so many ways and weapons of destroying someone you don't like, so perhaps I'm being a little naive about it.
Do you think that a lot of Afghan refugees who came to Pakistan, are they being encouraged to return to Afghanistan?
I don't think there's been any direct attempt to get them to move back. There's a certain amount of movement as far as speech is concerned and encouragement is concerned, but really Pakistan can't move very fast in this matter when you consider that the majority of these refugees have nothing to which they can return. Their villages, their houses, their crops have been decimated and ruined, and until they really have some kind of a homeland, I'm speaking from a material point of view, until they have a homeland they can return to, I don't think Pakistan intends to push them. But, of course, economically, Pakistan would be well advised to see if they go back, because it's costing Pakistan an enormous amount of money.
What effect does the resurgence of Islamic fundamentalism, the Ayatollah, and that political sort. What effect will that have on the region, if any?
Well, you've got two major sects of in Islam, the Shias and the Sunnis, and it seems that the so-called fundamental movement is affecting the Shia believers much more than the Sunnis. And in Pakistan, the majority of Muslims are Sunnis, and they don't, I don't think it sits very well with them. They're quite prepared, as indeed true believers of Islam, they're willing to accept what somebody else wants and tolerate it and be friendly disposed towards it. But I don't think that Pakistan or Pakistani as a whole are likely to adopt this line of religious procedure.
Finally, Brigadier, if you, Margaret Thatcher.
And at that point, we kind of cut it a little close, but there's a lot more to Brigadier Ingalls' little canter back through history. He was a great horseman, and we'll run that another time, because this is November. I had set aside to herald the exploits and the history of the world's military men. And we have a Canadian coming up, a Brit who was in the SOE, Special Operations Executive, the American general who was the deputy who built the bridges, the Mulberry Bridges at Normandy, General Berrigan, got him lined up. Oh, he's dead, but... and then if I can find the one about Patton's veterinarian, I'm looking for that, because we have over 1,500 interviews that I've done. And they're on tape and remarkably well preserved, considering some of them are 20 years old. And some of the stuff, and one of my favorite, he served in both the British Army at Gallipoli and at the Battle of the Somme in World War One. He was evacuated out of Gallipoli on the sister ship of the Titanic, the Britannic, which was also torpedoed or struck a mine. And in World War Two, Trevor Hodges served in the U.S. Army. He became an American citizen, and he came over here to contribute, not to corrupt like a growing number of these so-called immigrants, really aliens who are trying to impose their corruption and their lifestyle on us. You know, you come here, you become an American, and he emphasized that. I'm not an Englishman, I became an American, and he raised the family over here. I think he had four grandchildren, and that's a great interview. We'll have an excerpt from that. That'll probably be in the next 2 weeks, and then I have a guy who's worked, Art Burnclaw, who's done a lot of work trying to help veterans protect their rights and get their rights respected. I hope this Fort Hood, the good thing that comes out of it, that Americans will respect the men and women who put on the uniform to serve this country, even though it, what's the phrase, my country, right or wrong, but my country. And we may disagree with a lot of the policies, but at least these people sacrifice for us. And frankly, as one, I hate to use the phrase out of the 007, we expect them to die for us, and we should respect them in life. And respect and honor them in death, and honor them when they're invalided, honor them when they're disabled. And we have so many slimy people in political life and in the media who disparage the men and women who put on a uniform. And some of these people, they can't get jobs, or they're not prepared for the workforce, people like Stephen Neri. There are other people who have gone into the services. They've tried to serve this country, and they were preyed on by people who hate Americans, who hate democracy, people who support terrorism, and that's running rampant through the Steve Neri case and a couple of others that I will be bringing up with documentation. So I'm going to end with the what is the appropriate theme for these assassins who are killing Americans on our bases and on our ships like the USS Cole. And also, go to our YouTube. We've uploaded the Mel Belli, Canine and Cat Tales of the City. Great lawyer, personal friend. His part one of his interview is up on YouTube at Amicus Veritas. And then we'll have pictures of General Ingle, Brigadier Ingle. He was very specific about his rank, and some rare lithographs from the Crimean War and the Raj in India. So we will end with this appropriate theme, and also on Saturday we're going to have a recap of the best of the week and any breaking news. So thank you for listening, and we're signing off with this. It won't go. Well, anyway, with 4 minutes to go, we'll talk about this election. Contrary to people like Nancy Pelosi, who's really flipped out, some serious questions about that woman. She's... Uh-oh, I hear it. The march to the scaffold, that's where people like her belong. YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, and we hope to hear you visit us on Saturday. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Thanks.